Well, I didn't expect to be back up here today.
Oh.
I told the Lord I was done.
Finished.
And then Frankie called Sunday and said, you know, I feel like there was something else. I'm, no, oh no, no, I'm through, I'm done. Well, you know, I really felt like there was more. No, 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 I'm through. I'm fine. So he said, well, would you pray about it and let me know by Sunday? So I told Frank, no, I'm fine, I'm through. Went to bed, and of course, as the Lord does with me, woke me up at midnight to tell me he wasn't through. So, here I am again.
All right.
Yay.
This is very tough. This is really emotional today. As I started working on what I felt was left to say, but like I'd said everything, I was really struggling. And in the middle of the struggle, bam, the Lord spoke to me and said, remember the clay pot. Immediately, that brought to my remembrance something that had happened almost a year ago. It was a vision I'd had, one that I shared with Frankie. And I recalled that vision, the whole direction of what I was going to say completely changed. So today what I bring is what the Lord has placed on my heart in conjunction with that vision. So first the vision. I saw a potter's wheel, and as the wheel began to turn, I heard the voice of God say, I'm not only the potter, but I'm also the wheel, and I'll turn as fast or as slow as it's necessary to mold you into the vessel that I want to use. Then I saw a large mound of clay being placed on the wheel and the hands of God beginning to work the clay. And above the wheel was a pitcher, and it poured water on the clay as God worked. And the voice of God said again, I'm the living water, and out of this vessel will flow rivers of water. Next I saw a furnace with a great fire within, and the Lord spoke again and said, I'm pouring into you more and more and again and again. But first I'm sending you through the fire to bring out on the other side a completely unique vessel, never seen before, that will pour out life in rivers of truth as never before. So after this remembrance, I said, okay, Father, you're going to have to connect the dots for me because I'm not sure I understand how this relates to what I've been sharing on the gifts. There is a special manifestation of God's grace in you which can help other people in their life of faith and that honors God. And it's important that we discover and develop the spiritual gifts that have been bestowed on us by God, and we're responsible to use it for the benefit of others and for the glory of God. And if there's one thing that God wants us to learn, it's that God's purpose is to get the glory in all things. And that determines how we do all things. God's purpose is to make sure that we see that all power and glory belongs to him and not to us. So how does he do it? He puts the treasure of his gifts in his gospel in clay pots like you and me. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels or clay pots, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So God's concept of ministry is so different from the world's concept. The world stresses classy looking vessels. not the glory of God being placed in fragile, weak humans. But it is an honor to be a clay pot in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You know, real Christianity is always emitting a fragrance that is pleasing to God. And that that fragrance results from knowing Jesus personally. God manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. That's 2 Corinthians 2:14. He uses you and me to make known the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. The knowledge of the person and saving work of Jesus Christ is poured out like a spreading fragrance through His followers. We are the perfume that Christ has produced. We're filled with Him. And the gospel of grace bearing its fruit in our lives is that God has chosen to put that treasure, precious fragrance, in these clay pots. The treasure is what is extremely valuable and expensive. The jars of clay are made of just plain baked dirt. And while the clay is still pliable and wet, the potter's desire is to make something beautiful and useful, usable for his purpose and his plan. The clay pot is made of common, run-of-the-mill, ordinary clay, fragile and easily broken. And God uses what is fragile and yet serviceable so that there might be no mistaking where the power comes from. Clay becomes workable as water is added. Its whole nature changes when it's been touched by water. Clay particles won't stick together without water. And if they won't stick together, then the potter can't shake them. Water, that binding agent, is the Holy Spirit. We need the water of the Spirit so we can be used by God. The Spirit brings us together. It unifies us. The potter works the clay and manipulates it and forms the new pot, the new vessel. But after it's shaped, it's got to be baked. Now the fire. Life's trials come to all of us, but there's an eternal purpose behind it all. God has a reason. Mm-hmm. He sees in us something precious, which He desires to develop, and we're called upon to endure. We're not worthless stones. We're valuable ore that He's refining. The hotter the fire, the finer the vessel. But the potter allows no more heat than the vessel needs. Different kinds of pots need different doses of heat. You know, God doesn't use beautiful vases and flasks to house His fragrance. He has chosen to put the treasure of His fragrance in clay pots. He takes simple clay pots and fills them with His glory. The valuable treasure is contained within. They contain the message of the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what gives them infinite value. So why does God choose to use clay pots? So He alone can get the glory. In order that the excellency of the power may be of God. It becomes apparent that it comes entirely from God alone and not from us. Nothing that we can do to create that. The treasure of the gospel and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit has been entrusted to us. It's as though the most costly diamond had been encased in just an old clay pot. Common containers, but with an uncommon treasure. God didn't create us just to be decorations. He created us to contain something valuable. He didn't entrust it to the angels. He put it in me and you. old clay pots. In 2 Kings 4, the story is told of Elisha and his friend who had died, leaving a widow and two sons who were penniless. And the creditors were coming to claim her two sons as slaves. And Elisha asked her, well, what do you have in your house? She said, all I have is a small amount of oil. And so he says, go round up all the empty pots that you can find. Don't just ask for a few, ask for a lot. Then take all the empty pots and start filling them. Pour the oil into each one. And as one is full, set it aside and start filling the next one. So she did as he said. She sent her sons out to gather all the pots. When she had them all full, she said, sons, go out and get some more. They said, there aren't any more. Those empty clay jars represent us. And the oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And when we present ourselves to God as empty jars, then he fills us with his Holy Spirit. And from that infilling, we minister to others through the outpouring of the Spirit. We bring blessing, healing, faith, all those things that are a result of working in the gifts of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3, 4-6 says, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You know, Christians who use their gifts to minister are ministers of the new covenant. Our sufficiency is from God, who's qualified us to be ministers of the new covenant. The old covenant was the agreement that God made with his people on Mount Sinai, that if they would trust him and obey him and ask forgiveness for their sins, that he would give them life and prosperity. The new covenant that God has made with his people is that if we trust and obey Jesus and accept the forgiveness of our sins that he purchased for us, then we will have eternal life. And in the new covenant, God pours out his Spirit in large measure for the empowering of the church. When we minister under the new covenant, it's like an explosion of spiritual power. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which we cannot contain. And when we operate in our gift, then we're caught up in the redemptive work of Jesus. We're carried along by the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit. We aren't left to our own sufficiency. We finally feel that we're in the center of God's will. We feel his wind at our back and the angels are running before us. And we finally feel that we've found what we're made for. And we can rejoice in the grace of God that includes us as ministers of that new covenant. You have a gift from God. It's a treasure. And we aren't to squander his grace through negligence. We're responsible to use our gifts for the good of the church and for the glory of God. Because there is a church and a world out there that's crying out. They're dried up. They're burned out. They're downcast. And we have the answer. God wants to change the course that they're on. And he wants to use you, his clay pot. As we serve God and his people and the world through our spiritual gifts that have been bestowed on us, then the love of God and the fullness of God is manifested to the world and to those who are downcast, to those that are hurting and dried up and burned out. That river of living water will then flow out of us to others. You know, using your gifts gives you an understanding of a unique ministry that only you have been called to. And you're called to do that ministry to accomplish God's purpose and his plan in the body of Christ. you will discover a significant part of your purpose for being on this planet. Why he placed you here in Utopia at this time for the work that he had right here, right now. And we also can realize that God has made us completely fitted and competent to produce something that will last for eternity. Not just for today, but it goes on and on and on. There's fulfillment and there's joy in the service of others as you become an available clay pot. And by living the way of loving Christ and changing our way of ministering from pushing or dragging to serving, then the church comes to maturity and we become closer to what Christ wants us to be, closer to the example that he set for us. And by speaking the truth in love, we grow up. We become mature into Jesus. The confirmation of a spiritual gift comes in the blessing that results from its use, from its exercise. So as you use your gift in the power of the Spirit, God will confirm and establish you in your ministry. And there will be positive feedback from those to whom you minister. Having discovered what your gift is, you are accountable to God to develop and cultivate that gift. The Spirit gave it to you. He implanted it in you. And we are responsible to develop it properly, to use it properly. God can go to any lengths to make his will work. The issue is, do we line up in obedience to God so that he can use us as a perfect clay pot for the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and for his glory? If we're in the Spirit, then the church receives the benefit and God receives the glory. So the Holy Spirit has a gift prepared for us to serve and to help the church advance the kingdom of God. And he wants us to enter his kingdom as little children with an enormous capacity to learn and to grow.
That's good.
God enables us to grow up into the full operation of his gifts. And you know, amazingly enough, his plan works. The use of spiritual gifts is critical to the growth of the body of Christ. And for this reason, we have to be careful. We have to be careful to avoid some pitfalls that sometimes go along with the use of spiritual gifts. Given the mess that some spiritual gifts can create when they're misused, sometimes it's very tempting to just shrug them off or ignore them or remain indifferent about them. I don't want to get into that. I don't want to use that. But Scripture tells us to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. We need to press into the mess. Just because gifts are misused is no reason to stop their use.
That's it. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
The answer is to follow Scripture and use gifts God gives according to the operating instructions that go along with them.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
You have to remember that the Holy Spirit is the true dynamic behind the gifts. They have to be exercised in dependence on his power. Where we have gifts of the Spirit, we have power. But using those properly is our responsibility.
Maggie, while you're saying that, I can't help but just think about when you get a gift or you buy something in a box. How many guys in here don't like to use instructions? My wife is real good about getting the paper out. This length of screw goes in this place. And that's just how the body works.
That's right.
There's instructions.
There's instructions.
But most of us would rather just do it on our
just
own.
Just jump in.
And that's when we put it together. Seen the commercial with the swimming pool?
Yeah.
They wanted these extra bolts.
What are these good for?
It works. Yeah. That's what happens.
That's right. The spiritual gifts function best in the Spirit of love, which is the more excellent way, which Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:31. You know, he placed that description of love right in the middle of the most extensive biblical passage on the use of spiritual gifts. So it must be important. Each member, no matter what gift he or she may have, should seek to express it through love for others. That's how every gift ought to be used, in loving service to others. Spiritual gifts are not gained by merit or by begging. They're given solely by the grace of God.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit distributes them to each one individually as He wills, not as we desire. I don't really like that gift. I'd really rather have this one. Well, that may be. However, God knows what your character, your personality, your abilities, your talents, He knows what you need and what He desires to use you in. Spiritual gifts are the very nature of God. They're a part of His nature because they all are used. They all come from that love, that fulfillment of love of the Father. And He's given them to us to use to fulfill His purpose in our lives, in the life of the church, in the life of the world. They can be abused when we use them in the power of the flesh. If they're not being used in the power of the Spirit and through the love of Christ, they are of no value.
Uh-huh. Can I share something?
Yes.
You talking this morning, this has just been hitting me, and y'all are probably going to get a little TMI this morning, but that's okay.
All right.
You're talking about the fragrance, and if we're abusing and not walking in the love, we're not. And, you know, sometimes we don't know if we're not walking or if we are. Every single person in this room, do y'all wear perfume?
Mm-hmm.
Men, do you wear cologne?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this morning when we woke up, we had no water and we had no heat, and so I couldn't get a shower, so I got the spit bath and I used a perfume that I don't normally wear, and I used the lotion with it. You know how that layers on?
Oh, wow.
And I came up and I grabbed Sherry and I pulled her to the side because I was embarrassed, and I said, do I stink? Am I overloaded? Do I, you know how you feel like you're smelling yourself all the time and you're like, God, can everybody just smell this perfume? It's making me crazy. That's what happens. That's how gently and how personally Christ works with us. The Holy Spirit will lead us when we're not walking in the love, or if we're abusing that gift. You know, nobody else may know it. They may think you're walking in your gift and you're woohoo, but the Holy Ghost will call you on it, and it will be like too much stinking perfume.
You know, the discovery and the use of spiritual gifts is not a game. It's not an option. Your gifts determine your ministry, and your ministry can have eternal consequence.
Amen.
God's called us to be committed and faithful to Him, and that's reflected in part by our stewardship of the abilities and the opportunities that He puts before us. We will give an accounting to God of the use of our gifts. Spiritual gifts shouldn't be a cause of discouragement. As a rule, they develop gradually. You're not going to recognize the fact that you have this gift and immediately, whoo, you can do all things. You have all power. You're able to do everything. Nah. You're going to start out small. God's going to lead you little by little, teaching you as you go in small steps, small increments. Because sometimes if we get too much power too quick, we go nuts.
Yeah. You know, Maggie, God seems to use our personality, our mm-hmm. nature, and it comes back and you think, oh, wow, Lord, thank you. You know, but it wasn't something I could make myself be.
Right.
It was something God just did through me.
Mm-hmm.
He uses us as we are. He made us.
Right. Don't be in a hurry. Sometimes the development of your gift takes time, takes some work. And don't be jealous of the gifts that are bestowed on others. Gifts vary in nature, they vary in intensity, and God is sovereign in his distribution. He's given you the gift that perfectly suits your personality, your circumstance. He's called us to faithfulness, not result.
Right.
Spiritual gifts should not be a cause of pride. Since they're sovereignly distributed according to the grace of God, they're divinely entrusted responsibilities. Christian character and maturity is measured by the fruit of the Spirit, not spiritual gifts. You know, if one Christian possessed all of the spiritual gifts, he would be self-sufficient and he would have no need of the other members. But God has deliberately given us different gifts so that we need each other and we work together. And as each believer responds to the needs according to his particular spiritual gift and the things that God places before him, and as God allows believers to serve him in spiritual service in various roles, the body of Christ experiences then the fullness of God's love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away. So if we look at the characteristics of love listed here, we can see whether or not we're really operating in God's kind of love. And then finally, don't exalt the gifts above the giver.
Amen.
The true reward of a Christian who uses his gift to help others is not that the person that you minister to thanks you, but that they thank God. And there is no greater joy than using your gift to serve someone and have that person strengthened in their faith and their thanksgiving to the Father. God chooses to place his treasure in earthen vessels like us so that more and more people will know how loving and how kind God is and will praise and honor him. It's not about us.
Amen.
It's about him.
That's right.
So, God is the potter. We are the clay. And we understand that because we understand the process by which pottery is made. We're made of clay, molded by skilled hands, sealed by the Spirit, and made useful through times of fiery trial. We are uniquely beautiful, useful, and valuable.
Amen.
In God's eyes. We're durable. We last forever as containers of His glory and His power. And finally, we're fragile. So that our lives always point to the greatness of God. God places his treasure in these earthen vessels, and it is a treasure so rich and so remarkable, it's hard to define. The treasure is a divine perfume, a love letter signed by God, a sufficiency to serve as his ministers, and the treasure is a reflection of God's love and his truth and his power. And it's obvious that it has very little to do with how worthy we are and everything to do with how worthy God is. The kingdom of God is not made up of perfect people. It's made up of treasure-filled earthen vessels, clay pots, on display before equally fragile and imperfect vessels who, just like us, need to be filled by a perfect God. Your life has been given to you so that you can lay it down in service to Jesus and to others. And when you acknowledge that and you present yourself to God, saying, God, do whatever you need to do to fashion me into a useful clay pot, then you'll begin to understand what God is doing in your life and you'll experience his sustaining power and the joy of bearing fruit for him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.